Okay, Galatians chapter 2. This is Paul's experience, and remember, Paul was not in obedience to the corporate church of his day. He was in obedience to the revelations that the Lord gave him. And if you look up in chapter 1, there's a lot of information about his background and what he was commissioned by God to do. But then in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and I took Titus along, and I went in response to a revelation. He didn't go because he had a good idea. He went because God was on the job. And set before them the gospel, or the good news, that I preach among the Gentiles. So, when you say good news, he's not trying to bring them back into the law. St. Paul was preaching that Jesus took care of every detail of their failures, and even their upcoming failures were covered by his blood. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders. Notice again his words, who seemed to be leaders. They're not advertising their leadership by their outfits, like, for instance, the Jewish nation. Because, again, the hierarchy of that day was wearing all these garments. And they basically, the population worshiped them as leaders. Am I making any sense? And we've got traditional churches doing the same thing. I mean, I can remember, and don't be insulted, but I'm being honest with you. The bishop came, one of the bishops came to St. Anne's Church when we had that prayer group. And I had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're not to go kiss his ring. Now, traditionally, I would have been pressured by what tradition said. But I remember, and my wife said to me, well, because I told her, I said, I can't do that anymore. Well, I didn't understand why I couldn't do it. God didn't give me an explanation. All he said is, you're not to do this in obedience to me, basically. And I understood that I wasn't supposed to do that. Not because there was anything wrong with the man. It was the symbol that was involved. Okay? So, traditional churches do not understand the sonship message, number one. They don't understand the corporate church that is coming to life. That's your dream. And it's coming to life in spite of those that are false, which is what we're going to read about. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. So he's questioning himself, right? Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, what does that say? That's really revealing that those whom Jesus was setting free had become so free, they didn't follow the traditions of the Jew, which was the law. You had to be circumcised in the Jewish faith. And the church at that time in Israel was in obedience to the law. In fact, St. James at that time was probably the overseer. So, even though he was a Greek, this matter arose because some what? False brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. What kind of slavery is he speaking about?
To the law.
To the law? What?
I said religion.
To religion, yes. Okay. There was a short discussion this morning before I left my house, and a person said, you know, they were in conflict with a Jewish co-worker. The Jewish co-worker puts up a Christmas tree because they like Christmas presents. Okay? But called it a pagan holiday. is their right. It is a pagan holiday. It was originally a time to celebrate the sun god who was actually dying and coming back to life.
Solstice.
The solstice, yes. So it's based in paganism. I'm not saying people use it at that, but in the truth of the Jewish person who knows the truth says, wait a minute, this is off center. Our calendar is the real calendar. Our calendar was given to us by God. They're right. It's not wrong. The Romans twisted everything Jewish out of the church, if you wish, and made a new church. Part of it false. Not all of it false. So, who's going to clean it up? Who's going to clean up the church?
God is.
Yeah. Using what?
Us.
Who pulled that baby out of the stuck place? Yeah. The couch is a place for love. The bed is a place of rest. She's not in bed. She's on the couch. I remember reading a book many years back, and it says God has one piece of furniture in his living room. A love seat, yes. All it is one love seat. Nothing else is allowed in the room. Okay? Watch now. Some false brothers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus and his church is free to be what? All the condemning patterns of the Ten Commandments have now been taken care of by Jesus. And to make us slaves, so we're no longer slaves, we're free, we did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. So he's telling them the good news is that Jesus took all your sins and he meant it. Everything is covered by his blood. Not some of it, all of it. That's tomorrow's mistakes, next year's mistakes, 20 years from now, until eternity comes. Everything has been taken care of by Jesus. And when you live in him, you will not be able to be comfortable with sin patterns. Sin patterns are going to be identified by the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be pressed to stop whatever you're doing and energized by grace to walk in the truth and to live out that truth and to live out that freedom that Jesus came to give us freedom. He gave us freedom, not back into the law. Now, 6, as for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. Now that's pretty intense. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Isn't that cool? Just as Peter had been to the Jews. Tradition says, and religion says, oh, we follow after Peter. And they still declare it now. Well, Peter was the apostle to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Paul is the one that was the apostle to the Gentiles. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jew, was also at work in my ministry, which was what? The ministry of freedom. The ministry of grace that you receive by faith. You don't receive it under works. Do good and get. Do good and get good. Do bad and get bad. That's the law. We still mentally function in that area. I still find problems in that area. I have a hard time to declare sometimes, oh, I know I've been made righteous. I know that I'm free in Christ Jesus. I know that by his blood I've been set free. Well, why are you still feeling all these guilt feelings? Because the law is still operating in my subconscious. and in my memory banks. And who's going to be the one that's going to clean us up? The Lord. The Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, for God, 8, verse 8. For God, who is at work in the ministry of Peter, also the apostle to the Jew, is also at work in my ministry and the apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, so they're not advertising, they're humble. Amen? Gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so they'd accepted them as they were in their freedom, even though they were still legally under the law in their own eyes. God does not judge them or find fault with them. He just knows they've got some growing up to do. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. So you can see two separate churches. In the book of Revelation, you see seven of them. There's two visible here. Correct? Does God reject a Jew? Absolutely not. Does he reject his own laws? No. But he knows they're living under a legal system that Jesus came to what? Do what?
Eradicate.
Eradicate, correct. Now, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Now watch verse 11, which is kind of cool. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. So he didn't blabber behind the scenes. Because he was clearly in the wrong. Watch what he says. Before certain men came from James, which is the legalistic church, under the rules of circumcision, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles. Because, what does it say in your Bible?
Fear.
Fear. He was afraid of those who belong to what? The circumcision group. Who are the circumcision group? The church in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Led by James. The other Jews joined him in hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. What does that say? Even the one who had freedom was able to really listen to what these people gave as an argument, and he submitted, possibly, to circumcision. What was he trying to do? He was doing what Peter showed him to do, appease them. Instead of living his life in the freedom Paul had preached to him. That's scary. How many people do you and I know that are filled with the Holy Ghost and afraid to walk away from their religious background? Okay? And I'm not trying to begrudge them or judge them. I'm just saying, if it happened to Peter, it can happen to whoever. And it's not a blame game. It's not, you know, trying to say, oh, they're wrong and we're right and we're better than them. No. 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. So these are what? False teachers. But they're not even aware of it. And they live that way. And the Lord didn't have a problem with them. He would clean them up when he's ready. Notice when he is ready. I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow what? Jewish customs. What's the Amplified say on that one, Gail?
The whole of 14?
Yeah.
I was having trouble following. It's very wordy.
Go for it. That's why I felt that you needed to speak it out.
But as soon as I saw that they were not straightforward and were not living up to the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, Peter, before everybody present, if you, though born a Jew, can live as you have been living, like a Gentile and not like a Jew, How do you dare now to urge and practically force the Gentiles to comply with the ritual of Judaism and live like Jews?
That's a mouthful, isn't it? Mm. What does it say to you and me? How much tradition do we still walk in? Is it the traditions of the Lord? Or is he trying to make us aware that we can go higher and bigger with him? Verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, the real believer has no confidence in legalism. He has full confidence in the grace that Jesus provided through that one sacrifice on the cross. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by what? So how do we get our justification? By faith. How do we get born again? By faith. How do we get filled with the Holy Ghost? By faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Thank you. And not by observing the law. How much clearer do you want it? Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. That's scary right there. You can put yourself into a legal basket, bind yourself up, by just simply saying, I want to live by rules and regulations that somebody else puts on me. And I don't like the freedom Jesus paid for. Because it's too complicated. As I've got to listen to the Lord, and I'm not interested. I ain't got time for that. Being honest now, how many of you have heard that type of comment before? I ain't got time for that. Why? Because you're going to have to break your Bible open. You're going to have to get God's opinion on what you are and who you are in Christ. And if you ain't got time for it, then by golly, God will what? He'll just look at you and say, some false brothers have infiltrated among your ranks and removed your freedom in Christ. Why do we have some that come and can't handle our freedom? How many are getting an eye-opener right now? Okay? I'm trying to give you what Paul gave as the incredible truth of the good news. And if we're able to take that good news to those that are stuck in legalism, we will be able to what? Set them free. 17. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners. Does that mean that Christ promotes sin? No. Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died. To the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives, and I stress the word in me. So the anointed one lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. I don't live it because I believe. I live it by faith. Because believing is going to come after you stretch out and believe by faith. In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is dependent on me believing that he loves me. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. That's that love seat. That's why the couch. Mm-hmm. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. That's, you know, if you learn nothing else this week, go through these first two chapters and study it a little bit. Give it a little bit of time and say, God, I want to taste this freedom. I want to taste it. I don't want to hear about it. I want to taste it. Your entire testimony, Mary, is a testimony of who you are in Christ. Because everything around you was orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. And you know it. Some people would say, you know what? You're wasting your time. But you understand. It's not wasted. You have gained what others haven't even been able to see. But because of his grace, not that you're here, but you are developing the understanding that you've been justified by the gospel, by the good news. You've been justified by his blood.